Welcome to A Time of Hope with highlights from last Sunday's service at the California United Church of Christ. We hope you find our program inspirational. We'd also invite you to come and be with us in worship this morning. Pastor Cobb has services at the Salem United Church of Christ on Highway K at 8:30. Sunday school here at the California United Church of Christ at 101 North Oak starts at 9:30, and our church service is at 10:30. Reverend Cobb has an interesting sermon title for this morning. It is "The Doctor Will See You Now, - It's Terminal." Thank you for listening.
Stand for our call to worship. The time for worship has come. Let us gather beneath the cross of Christ. Let us listen for his word.
The time for worship has come. May God's Spirit prepare our hearts that we may prove to be obedient and loving disciples of Jesus Christ.
Let us worship together in the name of the God who creates, redeems, and keeps us forever. Amen. First song this morning is "Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing."
Our children's time.
Do you all like knock knock jokes? Sure. Okay, ready? Knock knock. Ben.
Ben who?
Been knocking for 10 minutes. Please let me in. Knock knock.
Who's there?
Doris.
Doris who?
Door is locked. That's why I'm knocking. Okay, knock knock.
Who's there?
Lettuce.
Lettuce who?
Let us in, it's cold out here. Okay, today we're gonna talk about a narrow door and a big door and doors that people go in. Have any of you all tried to get into a little bitty door? Okay, so that was awesome. So you talk about a big person or a big kid trying to get into a little bitty door, right?
Yeah.
So do you think everybody can get into that little bitty door?
No.
No, you're right. Not everybody can get into that little door. So that's kind of like what Jesus is talking about. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, or the little bitty door as he talks about, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Once the owner of the house gets up, closes the door, they'll be standing outside knocking and telling knock knock jokes. Let us in. Sir, open the door for us. But he will answer, I don't know who you are or where you came from. Get away from me. Do you think that's kind of mean?
Yes.
Okay. So the narrow door we must find, and how do you think we get in? Not from being little, not from being small, or not from being in between. You may remember Jesus once told a story about the good shepherd in the parable. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enters, he will be saved. There is only one door to enter into heaven, and that door is Jesus. Who can enter that door?
Good people.
Can you be little?
Yeah.
Can you be big?
Yeah.
So you think anybody can go in that door?
Yeah.
Okay, that's right. Anyone. If we put our faith and trust in him, we won't be left standing outside knocking and crying. Let us in. Here is one more knock knock joke for you. Okay, ready? Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Orange.
Orange who?
Aren't you glad to know that Jesus is the door to heaven? Oh, well, there you go. So that probably goes right to that door. How's that sound? Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you loved us so much that you sent Jesus, your only son, to be the door through which we can enter into heaven. In your name we pray. Amen.
Our senior choir sings, "I'll Keep My Eyes on the Cross." Medlin reads our morning scriptures, followed by Pastor Cobb's sermon, "The Doctor Will See You Now, Keeping Your Appointment."
Please join me in the first scripture lesson from the book of Luke, chapter 13, verses 22 through 30. He went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" And he said to them, "Strive to enter by the narrow door, for many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the householder has risen up and shut the door, you will begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us. He will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There you will weep and gnash your teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And men will come from east and west, from north and south, and sit at the table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. The second lesson comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 19, verses 6 through 9. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the sound of many waters and like the sound of mighty thunder peals, crying, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to be clothed with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, Write this, Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, These are the true words of God.
Thank you, choir. Thank you, Jenny. This morning, when we look in Luke chapter 14, if you want to turn there in readiness, we're going to read the first 24 verses of Luke chapter 14. We're going to actually see the real story, what prompted the parable later in Luke chapter 24. We're going to see exactly what prompted Jesus to give this lesson to the people that were around him. Jesus was a people watcher. He would sit and he would watch how people interacted. He would see how they engage other people. And this is no different right here. And the goal of this teaching, this parable at the end, was to change the vision and the eyesight of the people at the first party. Their eyesight was very narrow, it was very limited. They had a very limited range of people that they wanted to associate with. And they had invited Jesus to this feast for one purpose. They wanted to trap him. They wanted to trick him. They wanted to discredit him. They wanted to dishonor him so people would stop following. And so they invited him to this special banquet so they could, you know, show people that he was not who everybody thought he was. Well, see, Jesus turns the tables on them. And then he'll see the lessons that he gives us here this morning, that maybe that he can help us change our eyesight, maybe change our focus. As we approach into Easter, are there people out there that need us to see them, that need us to engage with them, that need us to show them God's love and care? And when we read these 24 verses this morning, he's going to give us some hints. He's going to give us some eyesight. He's going to give us some encouragement on what we need to do. So if you'll follow me, I'll start with verse 1 there in Luke chapter 14. It says, One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. I don't know about you, but if I know I'm going to a dinner and nobody likes me there, I may not want to go. You know, I don't feel like I'd maybe want to stand in the presence of people that are maybe watching me and they're being critical of me and they're wanting to make sure I do something wrong so they can get after me. I don't think I'd really want to go to that, but Jesus goes anyway. Why? He knew there was going to be one person there that was going to be thankful for his presence. Many times God calls us into uncomfortable situations that we can just touch one person's life. We find out that person in verse 2. He says, There in front of him was a man suffering from abnormal swelling of his body. Some people guess that the Pharisees brought this man and put him right in front of Jesus. They wanted to tempt Jesus to break the law that day so they could pounce on him. But here's a man sick. He had congestive heart failure, basically. Fluid was building up. His heart was not working well. The Pharisees were not lifting the finger to help them. And Jesus looks at them and he knows their hearts. He knows their eyesight is not seeing the most vulnerable people in their community. So Jesus asked the Pharisees and experts in the law, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? But they remained silent. So taking a hold of the man, he healed him and sent him on his way. He says, hey, the party's done for you. He says, you can go on your way. Jesus had come for the one man that was going to be so grateful that he came into the presence of Jesus. Then he asked them, If one of you has a child or an ox that falls into a well on the Sabbath day, will you not immediately pull it out? And they had nothing to say. So Jesus instantly turns the tables on them. They were wanting to catch him do something wrong. They were not even amazed that he had healed someone that these people knew. They didn't walk away. Don't you think that they had someone in their family that needed Jesus' healing? Don't you think I'd be writing myself a note, okay, I need to call Aunt Sally. Aunt Sally needs to see Jesus right here. She's got the same problem that this guy has right there, but they're so rigid. They're so, you know, looking at their own laws. They're so consumed with themselves. Their eyesight is so poor. They can't see the most vulnerable people right in front of them. It says, when he noticed how the guests picked the places of honors at the table, he told them this parable because Jesus noticed what was wrong with their hearts. It had to deal with their humility. It had to deal with their humbleness before God. And he says, when someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this person your seat. Then humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. I'm sure nobody in here has ever had this happen to them, but I'm sorry to say I've fallen into temptation a couple times. I've gone to a Royals game, I've gone to a Cardinals game, and I've had upper deck, you know, seats up there, and I look down about the third or fourth inning, and the front rows or the first few rows down there, nobody's sitting in. So I go down and I act, me and my buddy, we act like we deserve ourselves, like Bob Uecker must be on the front row. And that's what I, you know, you've gone down there and you've done that, you've sat there before, and then you're sitting there about the fourth inning, and then the people show up that have the real seats. And then you have to look confused. You have to look, oh, you mean CC is not front row here at this stadium? CC's usually front row where I'm from. And so then you have to be escorted out in front of everybody and have to be humiliated to show where your seats are at, way up here. And that's what Jesus is saying here. All the people wanted to be around the master. They wanted to get their photo up. They wanted to get their selfie so they could post it on Facebook. But then Jesus said, but when you are invited, take the lowest place. So that when your host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you'll be honored in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to the host, I mean, he's been invited to the party. They wanted to, you know, discredit him. Now he's looking straight at the prominent Pharisee. When you have a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends. I'm sure Jesus probably looked around, looked at all the fellow Pharisees and teachers. Don't invite your brothers or sisters, your relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. So there's no benefit there. You're just going to have your social time. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. He knew that the people there had a condition of the heart. They were not humble. They were proud. He said, go invite people that will really benefit from your banquet, people that will really be nourished by your banquet. Then one of the people sitting at the table thinking Jesus was talking about him, he stands up and he says, one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. He thought, you know, Jesus was going to pat him on the back, said, yeah, that's you. But in the immortal words of Lee Corso on College Game Day, not so fast, my friend. Verse 16, Jesus replies, a certain man was preparing a great banquet, invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. They've got their card. They've been told, they, you know, Jenny sent us a save your date. And then she sent the next one as RSVP. She was making sure that, hey, are you coming or are you not? They got their card, they knew, but now the RSVP was coming. He sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything now is ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Although they accepted and said that they were coming, now they had excuses. Another one said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. Still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. Then the servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry. And he ordered his servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Sir, the servant said, what you ordered has been done, but there is still room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet. Jesus knew the audience he was talking to. He was talking to a Jewish audience. They had gotten notice. God had told them through Moses and the prophets that the Messiah was coming. They had gotten their save the date. Mark it on your calendar. The Messiah's coming. You better be ready when he comes. Jesus is now coming with the confirmation call. He's saying, press one to confirm your point. Press two if you're not going to make your appointment. And these three guys were not going to make their appointment. Although they said they were going to come, although you know the master was expecting them, they said, you know what? I bought some oxen. I bought some land. I need to go try them out. I need to go see this land that I've bought. Who's going to buy land that they've never seen? Or buy a car or buy oxen that they've never tried out? They had other things to do. And then the other one says, you know, I just got married. What new bride would not like to have a night out on the town with their husband and not have to cook a meal or clean dishes? They're making excuses not to be in the presence of God the Father. And Jesus calls them on it. He says, because you all have rejected the invitation, the invitation is going to go out now to the other ones, the Gentiles, the one that were not the first guests, but they're going to come. And we're going to invite them. We're going to go see them. We see here a dinner and a sermon. And anytime after dinner, I go out and eat out these days. I always have my leftover doggy bag to take with me because it doesn't seem like I can eat as much as I once did. And this morning, we've got our doggy bag of lessons to take home with us. So what's Jesus trying to tell us? Number one, don't let traditions or preferences keep us from helping those that need help. Our eyes may be just focused. I'm coming to church today. I don't see anything else. I'm going to get to my pew. I'm going to get to my seat. I'm going to get through the service. I'm going to get home. And there might be someone sitting right in front of you that's hurting. Jesus says, don't let our preferences, don't let our traditions, don't let our laws, maybe they don't look exactly the same way. Maybe they don't dress the way that we don't think that they should be. May they come in and take my pew before I get here. Jesus said, don't let those things keep us from helping the most vulnerable and the ones that need their help the most. He also tells us that we are the ones to invite. The master sent out his servant, said, go and tell them to come to my feast. Each one in this room is an inviter to the feast. We're the ones that are to go out into the streets and into the countryways, into the roads, into our places of employment, to our schools, to the grocery store, to the ball games, and invite people to the feast. And we see people here, don't let your worldly priorities take you away from your eternal reward. All these things were important. Buying a car, buying oxen, buying land, getting married. Those are all good things. But too many times we let other worldly priorities take us one way from the spiritual influences that lead us to our eternal reward. Everyday activities keep us from the presence of God. Are there things in our midst right now on our everyday activity list that are important, that do have preference in our life, but they take away from the time that we can spend with one another on a Sunday morning, on a Wednesday night, or even in our own personal Bible study? He said, don't let those worldly priorities keep us from the presence of God sitting around his table. Only those who accept God's invitation will sit at his table. My wife can't go to my doctor's appointment for me. She would like to because I come home with my doctor, you know, report, and I'll say what he says. She goes, man, I wish I was there so I could hear that to make sure that's what he's actually saying. She doubts my word for some reason. I don't understand that. But she can't go there. The doctor can't check her out. He has to check me out. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that who gave his one and only son, that whoever believes him shall not perish but have eternal life. You're the only one that can accept that invitation to be around God's table. It's not up to your parents. It's not up to your spouse. It's not even up to your friend or your grandma or your grandpa. It's you and you alone. We have to be willing to make contact with strangers and those people that don't look like us to invite them in. That's why Jesus was telling the Pharisees here. They did not want to go out beyond their sphere of influence, beyond the people that they knew, the people that they were comfortable with. He's saying, hey, go to the street people, go out to the country, people that you don't know, and bring them in. Sit with them. Let them know that they mean something. Let them know that they are special in God's kingdom. Last Sunday, we had a gentleman, a young man, come into our church. First time I'd met him. He introduced myself. He told me his name. He went down. He sat down there by himself. I think about there where Judy and Dwayne are sitting. He sat there by himself after he left. A family was with him. He walked here to church by himself. And I think one of our families took him home so he didn't need to walk. We exchanged pleasantries and he left. It was really neat to meet him. One of our ladies came in and she asked me, she goes, who was that young man that sat down there in front? And I told her who it was. And she said, did you realize that during the service, some of his friends came and sat with him during the service? I said, no. I said, I was preaching. I didn't recognize that. So I pulled up the online service, Ronnie. And I saw four of our young people sitting right there with him. They got up during church. I don't know if the parents kind of prompted them to go. I don't know if it was one of them. But you know where that boy's at today? He's sitting with his friends right back there. How many of you would get up during church and go sit with someone that's sitting by themselves? Leave your own pew. I know that would take probably an act of Congress to get that to happen, Rudy. I know row 7 right on the aisle, okay? But how many of us would get up in the middle of church, see somebody sitting by themselves, go, I'm going to introduce myself. I'm Rudy. I'm glad you're here. Please come back again. And there's always room at God's table for the hurting and the vulnerable. What can our church do to go out to the lame, the blind, the crippled, and the poor? I missed it the first time I read through this parable. But the guy goes out twice. He goes out the first time and says, hey, we still got room. He says, hey, go out farther. Go out to other areas that you're not familiar with. Bring even more people in. Do whatever you got to do. Keep inviting until our place is full. I'm looking around here. We got some empty pews. If each one of us went out and brought one more person in, I think we could fill this place, and not just on Easter, okay? There's people in our community that are on the streets that you see them in the grocery store, you see them in the ball games, you see them at school. They just need someone to say, man, I'd love for you to come and sit right next to me. You will not be alone at my church. But how can we reach out to others? Have we ever thought about maybe sponsoring a meal at the nutrition center? They only have meals Monday through Friday. Maybe we sponsor a Saturday meal for them. Maybe we invite all the sheltered workshop adults to come to our congregation. We'll come and get you. We'll help you be here at our place. Maybe we find out people in our community that are shut-ins or that are struggling with assistance, maybe even from other cultures. You know, we have other cultures in our community. Maybe they need someone to just say, hey, you can sit with me today. God is calling each one of us to go out in that and invite them in. You know, we got 4 weeks until Easter. Great time to invite people. I left cards back there, Easter cards. You can pick one of them up. You can give them to a friend. I talked to Jack Boland's son-in-law, Tom. Not Tom. I forgot what his name. We do stuff together. And he mentioned to me that his church, they noticed that there's a lot of their members that had not been there for a long time. So they started praying for 40 days, reaching out to people that hadn't been here for a while, reaching out to new people. He says, it's been amazing to see those people come back because all it took was someone to invite them, someone to show them that they care. Can we do the same thing? And then when you see here, the last thing we see here this morning, he says, don't waste time. What did he say? Go out quickly. He said, I got time. I can wait till last, you know, later in the week. We got other time to do that. That person may not have more time. They may need to hear that gospel message today. He uses a word there, go out and compel them to come in. Does that mean we go out and lasso them, that we capture them, we drag them through the front doors kicking and screaming? No. It means we persuade them, we love them, we encourage them. We build a relationship with them, and that relationship is a bridge to walk into our front doors. Because then when they gather around the God's table, it's a feast. It's overwhelming helpings of acceptance, of forgiveness, of peace, of joy, of access to God himself, and restoration. We're the one that can offer those things to those people that need it so desperately. Dwight Moody was a famous evangelist, and he preached his last sermon on Luke chapter 14. He was not feeling well. His health was declining, but he knew there was people in the audience that needed to hear the message. So he went out and preached this sermon on the parable, the great feast. 50 people responded to the message. A month later, Dwight Moody would be dead. But when he walked out there and gave them the message, he invited the people to come in and know that this is a place where God's love resides and lives. What will it take for you to come and sit at the master's table? What will it take for you to invite a friend to sit there with you? As he saw with the Pharisees, they had developed a hard heart. They had developed a hardening of the arteries. Blood flow had decreased, and their lives had grown cold. When you come here and you hear the message, you read for yourself and you pray and you feel the presence of God. God is touching with the Holy Spirit to prompt us. What will it take to gather more people around the feast of God? And are you ready for the confirmation call from God to make your appointment? He sent you the message through the gospel. Will you press one? Say, yes, I'm confirmed. Or will you press two? No, not today.